Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Welcome to the show. I am Mick Dagger.
And across for me is
the General.
The General.
With the G.
Of course.
Big G, little G.
What is it? A silent H? G-H-E-N-E-N.
Well,
E-N-E-R-L.
Been working on the Spanish with the with my daughter there. She turned 8 today. So for the rest of this year, I'm going to call her La Ocho.
That's her name, La Ocho?
For the next year.
Would you have to put a feminine A on the end of that? Would it be La Ocha?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I don't have to go research that now.
Yeah.
I was doing L Ocho, and I was like, wait, I can't do it that way.
Because she is, she's a girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All those rules.
I know. Crazy rules. I hope everybody's been good. We've had a good week here. A lot's been shaking in the world of Beer Army.
Yeah, it's just a blur. I mean, it seems like it's been a while since we've talked last, but just a couple days ago. So it's just been nuts. You know, I'm still kind of amped up from ECU just putting the pine tar or the heel tar or whatever it is UNC.
Yeah.
I mean, almost 800 yards in offense. Are you freaking kidding me, man?
You don't hear of many college football games that end in the score of 70 to 41.
Well, especially when it's, you know, I mean, UNC's no slouch of a team. They're ranked.
No.
I mean, they're a ranked team, you know, and, you know, seriously, props to ECU and Pirate Nation because I was really speechless. I really thought that coming out of the half that UNC would be organized more and but they just, you know, and after doing Virginia Tech and putting the Hokies down, I mean, I think you really seriously have to think about, you know, let me put it this way. If AP, you know, however the hell they do this stupid ranking system, I never liked it. You know, it's one thing about college football and how they do the bowls and all that. It just drives me apeshit. It's but I think they seriously have to think about ranking ECU now. I mean, I really
well,
do.
Well, they're in the Big East. They stepped up. They should be. You know, it's one of those things. And, well, as long as there's a BCS, these rankings are going to be crazy anyway. They're going to have to break it down into, you know, conferences like you have in the National Football League.
Well,
you have divisions, and then in those divisions, you enable playoffs, and then that way you can accurately name a champion.
Well, it's not even the Big East anymore because they renamed it the American.
Oh, the American Athletic Conference.
Or whatever, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well,
gotcha.
Football, yay! I love football.
But do you enjoy the beer I'm bringing?
Oh, man, this Aviator is delicious, and it's seasonal. It's perfect for this time.
Yeah, no, it's their, I love anything, Mark Doble over there at Aviator Brewing Company, for those not familiar with that. That's located in Fuquay Varina, which is approximately 10 miles or so southwest of Raleigh. And Mark Doble, we've known him for a while. He's a Army brat.
He'll
tell you he's an Army brat. But he also served in the Army Reserve for about, I think it was 8 years. And he started from humble beginnings because he's a pilot and in his own hangar. And he's a big home brewer and avid beer enthusiast. So he, you know, started up a commercial brewery in his hangar right next to his plane, basically, you know. And I think that's pretty awesome. And he started distribution in 2009, and then he moved to their current location in 2010. And they have a tap house that's been open since 2009 in the old Varina train depot. And I just love that when breweries can use an existing building that has a lot of history or whatever. And that building's history can be traced back to 1903, you know. And
Wow.
I think that's pretty badass. And then, of course, across the street from the tap house is the their smokehouse, which opened up in 2011. They offer all kinds of meaty goodness and smoke treats and
meaty goodness.
Yeah. So ribs, wings, you know, all that.
Yeah.
They do catering too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, leave it to, again, you know, this is Oktoberfest season. Officially kicked off on the 20th this year. When I say Oktoberfest season, I'm going by the classic Bavaria, you know, or more specifically Munich, Germany. And depending on the year and how the dates fall, it always has to include that first Sunday in October, which is kind of ironic because people think of Oktoberfest, they think of October, but it actually begins in September and it ends in the first week of October. And then they it always adjusts sometimes from 16 to 18 days in duration because they always want to include that last Sunday with what was that? That's Germany's reunification holiday or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Or German Unity Day. And so they always kind of include that. So anyways, we're drinking Aviator Brewing Company's October Beast, and it's a 7.2% Marzen style draft ale, even though we poured it
7.2
out of a can. 7.2? Yeah, yeah. Which is a little bit, you know, meatier than...
That is meaty.
Yeah.
Meaty goodness.
For an October. Yeah, meaty goodness. Ironically, even though it's on their can here, it says Marzen style draft ale, we...
What's that mean?
We poured it out of a can, but...
Well, when you say Marzen style, I don't know. I'm thinking marzipan. And
what?
Yeah. No, so, well, traditionally, Oktoberfest beers were lagers of around 5.5 to 6% ABV, and they were called Marzen, which is German for March beer, I believe. And please, again, the hate mail that we get, don't say, oh, you're wrong, you know, you're freaking, it's this or that, but historically, it's brewed in March and allowed to ferment slowly during the summer months. And, in that part of Bavaria, they have, with the breweries, they'll have their caverns or caves below or their cellars, and they're fermented down there where it stays nice and cool year round, and it'll ferment all summer long. And originally, these were darker lagers, which is really awesome about this beer. It's darker like it was traditionally. But then from like around the 1870s or so, our Civil War time frame, majority of the Oktoberfest beers have become more golden color, but thanks again to this craft beer renaissance we've had over the past couple of decades in the States, and more specifically, just the explosion we've had over the past 5 or 6 years.
Oh, huge! Yeah.
You know, everybody just taking different angles on different styles and stuff, and we have what we're drinking today, which is really awesome. And I love Aviator as far as their artwork on their cans. It's always kind of it's really aggressive, kind of eccentric a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and, it's very aviation friendly as far as their logo. But this one is a beastly. It's October beast. That's why.
And I don't know about
the devil with a
like a cauldron
mascot or something.
What I love about it on the can here, it says, consuming this beer encourages the wearing of lederhosen and listening to polka music. Are we listening
to lederhosen with skulls on it?
I don't know.
It's delicious, though.
No, it is. It's really, I got to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Oktoberfest beers. I think what it is because the season comes and then you'll see remnants of Oktoberfest beers on tap to like December, you know, because they're trying to push them so hard or whatever. And but this is a really... I'm really surprised. I'm very impressed with this beer. It's a very bronze or a darker bronze type color. And, you know, it's got a nice white head. And you're definitely picking up some caramel. And I even think there might be some hint of some vanilla in there or something like that.
Well, it sure tastes good. This is it is. It's hoppy, but it's got a warmer, hearty flavor. But the hoppiness isn't off-putting.
I think that warmness is that alcohol, because it's definitely elevated. It's not in your face. It's not hot or anything. It's just... it definitely tells you to prepare for something more than a regular traditional 5.5%.
That's your alcohol blanket.
Yeah, yeah. So
wrap yourself up in that warmth, buddy.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. So hats off to Mark and company for what they've produced here. This I highly recommend. Go out and get yourself some. Again, we just kicked off Oktoberfest season, and if you want more information on Aviator Brewing Company, go to aviatorbrew.com. So
check that out. It's really delicious. I had an Oktoberfest from another brewer last night. This one blows it out of the water.
Yeah, I don't even think... the thing is, it's kind of, again, Americanized as far as there's some hoppiness to it, too. And usually with...
But it's not a palate blaster. It's not a face melter. No.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome, man. So, but getting back, so what have you been up to these past couple of days?
Oh, God.
Did I hear you were jamming out?
I was slapping to bass.
I hear you doing the garage band.
Yeah, a great buddy of mine, Joe Bass. I've played in various incarnations of bands with him.
Yeah.
And currently...
This is like a real band, not a joke band.
No, it's real.
It's a serious stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's fits.
Not like what we're doing here.
It's for shizzle.
It's for shizzle.
I slap the bass and sing, and we just have a bunch of fun. It's called the Joe Bass Project, and we cover a lot of crazy stuff. Do some weird mashups. We did a mashup of Breaking the Law and Bad Romance.
Really?
So, yeah. We call it Breaking the Romance.
Bro, as in bromance or romance?
Romance.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure maybe you and Joe are in a bromance or something.
Well, I love the guy. He's a good buddy of mine. Okay. Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's a bromance. Okay. It's not like we spoon when we get together
not like
or anything.
Us.
Oh, well, hey, what do you... You shouldn't reveal so much so fast,
well, luckily
my friend.
It's radio. It's not TV. They can't see you.
Theater of the mind. Your minds are racing out there. But no, I just having a great time and jamming out and playing some music. Cool. You got to love it. It's a nice bit of a release in a maddening world sometimes.
Yeah, the Murph really... he threw one at me this week or whatever.
Oh,
You know, I just...
I don't know if you want to go into detail.
Yeah, I don't want to go into detail too much, but I do want to kind of like just throw it out there, not out of selfishness or whatever, but it's kind of ironic because September is Suicide Awareness or Prevention Month, and a couple days ago I had a really good friend that was on the team with me. A really good, he's my right-hand man for a number of years or whatever, and he took his life, and I remember... Scott, who's in the ready room when we came into the studio or whatever, we're going to bring him in on the next segment and introduce Scott to the masses. But I was with Scott out in Raleigh, and I got notified, it was like less than 24 hours. And we were actually out on the town and visiting some other friends and some buddies. And it just kind of hit me. And the emotions that you go through, it's anger, it's frustration, it's guilt, all these things that are not it's not fair to put on yourself or on anybody else. I think what it is, it's like, you
can't help it, man.
Rob was just a good guy.
Yeah.
And, he went through all that crap. He got promoted all the way up to Master Sergeant. He got out of the Marine Corps less than a year ago. And we talked about it because he helped me get through some of my times. And he said, look, man, you ever need to talk to somebody, you ever going down that path, you call me. And I said, hey, well, you know what? I'll put you on the hook too. That ever happens. But he was really happy. Things were going good. And that's the reason why I just kind of came out of left field. And I think it's just, it's like that, like we always hate the man and Murph, and it's just, I think it's like having, like breaking up with a girlfriend you've been going out for a long time with. It just leaves this hole in your heart, and people who say, committing suicide is cowardly or it's weakness or whatever, like there's that Army general, I don't remember his name, years ago he said that. I just wanted to beat the living shit out of him because it's like, that's not how it is. People are dealing with their demons or battling it out, and.
It's one of those things, and I don't want to cut you off, but I think for vets who've gone down range and they've seen unthinkable and unimaginable things, I think it's a bit different. I mean, the brain processes things differently, and I judging on the, not that I'm saying other people who have taken their own life who may not have had the similar experiences or military. I don't want to throw them in a different category, but I think it's one of those things where until you've been there, you don't know, man.
I think, again, I don't want to say, because he was a veteran and, that his, it means more or something. It's very tragic that anybody will get to that point in their life. And, Jackie Hurd, she's our webmaster, and she was at the time in the Air Force, and she has a very unique perspective because she did a lot of the paperwork associated with investigations into the suicides, of airmen and stuff like that. And she had a really good perspective in that, people who commit suicide, they feel like they're the problem, in life's equation. And then by taking themselves out of the equation, literally taking themselves out, they think that they're helping. And I understand that, and I understand how some people might think, I know I just called, whoever thinks that they're being selfish, they're assholes, but I don't take it too personally because I could see where a person would think that like, you're being kind of selfish because you're leaving behind this, but that's not how they're thinking, And again, I didn't want to hijack our show and get on the subject too much and be downbeaten, but what I wanted to do is raise awareness. Yes, exactly, because it's September, it's Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month, and I just want to call out there that, there are some great resources out there, and suicidepreventionlifeline.org. That's the national organization. They got a 24/7 hotline. So if you just need to talk to somebody, please pick up the phone and call them. It's 1-800-273-8255. For our veterans out there, sometimes they like talking to fellow veterans or whatever because maybe they might be able to relate to them better. And I think that's kind of like what you were getting at earlier.
Yeah.
There's veteranscrisisline.net, and you can reach them at 800-273-8255. Just please, to all our listeners out there, if you personally are contemplating or think maybe somebody else is, call, text, chat. There's so many online resources. There's so many resources out there. Please do not think that you don't matter.
Exactly.
Just don't ever think that you don't matter because you do.
Well, there are so many people that care. There are so many, I have another veteran friend. Maybe in the future we can have a discussion with him and tie back to this because he's huge on veterans issues, and he went through a similar situation where he almost made that choice.
Yeah, I've thought about it myself on occasion too. I have to admit,
it's crazy, and it's one of these things though. The number of veterans that do take their own life, it's frightening. How many we lose on a monthly basis, if not daily, to suicide is frightening. And it's just, it's one of those things where, yeah, you might find yourself in a situation where you'll think nobody's going to understand. But until you extend that hand to try to find help, you're not going to let anybody take it.
Yeah.
And it's
And I would go one step further.
But again, it's hard to get out of your own head sometimes.
But I would go one step ahead, you know, veteran, civilian, it doesn't matter. I don't, you know, you matter, you know, yeah. Just reach out, give everybody that opportunity, you know, just give them the opportunity. Just talk to somebody, please, for the love of God, you know, whether you believe in God or not, doesn't matter. Just please reach out to somebody with all the resources we got. I think that's the biggest tragedy. That's the thing that just frustrates me the most. It's like, I feel like we failed as a humanity, as a race, you know, and I think that's what just frustrates me and just leaves that hole in your heart, you know? So
it does. And you're right. And I wrap it up with that. It's one of those things where we can get so involved with things going around us, and there's so many distractions in our daily lives. There's so many little things that take us away from face-to-face interaction and actually being in a position where you can reach out to somebody, because your distractions can take you from that awareness.
Yeah.
But people are there, you know.
They are.
And I'm glad you brought this up.
At a minimum, you and I are here, and you people can, you know, anybody that's thinking about contact us, because I think I'm pretty – we'll talk you off the ledge.
Yeah, we got broad shoulders.
I mean, give us a chance, you know.
Exactly.
You know, at a minimum. So I am pretty excited, though, about this this episode, though, because we're going to debut a new little segment that we're going to call the Heroes Never Die Tribute. Mick and I were talking about this last time, about all the great heroic deeds of just modern day citizens that it goes unheard if you don't hear about. And so just recently, here a couple days ago, on the 17th of September, this comes out of WLOX Channel 13, which is the ABC affiliate in Long Beach, Mississippi.
Yes.
So we want to give our Heroes Never Die tribute out to Gary Lacey and Gerald Booth. These two gentlemen were sitting in a truck alongside the Long Beach Pharmacy when they noticed something odd across the street at the Hancock Bank. And basically, they saw two guys running out with, I kid you not, pantyhose on their head.
Wow.
Streaming line, you know, like just like in the movies, right? And I can imagine that the leggings were probably still there and they're kind of running like big long ears or something. But and so they saw them and
a poor man's dreadlock.
You know, right away, you know, these guys sound like, you know, born and bred local residents that, like, you know, took offense to that. And so,
good on them.
You know, the one was going to get out, but then they realized they had guns in their hands. So, you know, they were like, oh, better not. And they got into the vehicle. And so they decided to follow them, calling 911, giving them the 411 on, you know, where they're located at until, you know, police could try to arrive on the scene. But, you know, in the middle of that, the suspects, you know, figured out that they were being followed. I mean, they're getting shot at.
Oh,
so
wow.
These guys are getting shot at, dodging bullets, talking to 911, trying to vector in. And then finally, they saw cops in their rearview mirror. They pull up into a major intersection, block traffic so the cops could just fly right by them. And then they got out of the, you know, removed themselves from that equation, obviously.
Smart thinking.
And long story short, the cops finally chased these assholes down, and they arrested them or whatever. And, you know, let's see, what are these guys' names here? Austin Hubbard and Javarius Dixon. And so those are the two idiots. They decide to rob a bank, and they got away, or they didn't get away, but they stole $3,999. And it's nice to know that these two assholes will probably be sitting in jail for a very, very long time. Luckily, nobody was injured. I know some people be like, oh, that's irresponsible, chasing down suspects or whatever, getting shot at. Well, guess what? If the cops were chasing them, they probably would have shot anyways. So
yeah. Oh, those are average citizens. I can only shoot at cops as a criminal. I mean, no, there's no logic to a criminal's mind.
Yeah, no.
You can't rationalize with that mentality.
And the cool thing is, when they were interviewed, they said that they would do it again. And that's awesome.
Good on them.
You know,
what did the city of Long Beach do for them? It's Long Beach, Mississippi, right?
Well, yeah, this just recently happened, so I don't think I would like to think that they're going to be
recognized
somehow, besides just being on the local, you know, ABC News affiliate coverage or whatever. But I do, again, shout out to Gary Lacey and Gerald Booth. You are our Heroes Never Die tribute this week, and thank you
Congrats,
for stepping
guys.
Up, and thanks for not being on the sidelines and getting involved.
Absolutely, man. So many people want to observe rather than make a difference or take a stand. It's intimidating. It can be scary. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know what you tolerate will perpetuate, if not gravitate towards you.
No, it's awesome.
So if you put a stand out there like these guys did, they did great things. Good on them. Awesome piece. Thanks, Dustin.
So looking forward to our next segment as we finally get to introduce. I saw Scotty out there, Snotty Scotty, he was stretching his stuff in the ready room.
I made bratwurst. It's Oktoberfest. I made bratwurst before you guys came over, and he wouldn't eat a bratwurst.
Are you kidding me?
He wouldn't eat one.
I don't know about that
guy. If you offer me food, don't count on me eating it.
Well, luckily, he gets a chance to defend himself here coming up. So.
Well, he better. He's probably going to be chewing on a block of cheese. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
It's Mick Dagger and the General on Beer Army Engaged.
Well, we're graced in the studio now here on Beer Army Engaged with Scott Andrews. Scott Andrews, public affairs officer for Beer Army Engaged.
He just flew into the studio here.
I'm getting paid for this,
right? Well, you're not public affairs officer for Beer Army Engaged. You're public affairs officer for Beer Army.
Yes.
And it encompasses all of that. Well, everything.
You're my boss?
You're my... Wow. Luckily...
No wonder you wouldn't eat my bratwursts.
Well, the disclaimer
I don't
here.
Eat food from subordinates.
Since he just asked me if he's getting paid, I like to remind him and everybody else that we really appreciate him volunteering his time for the Beer Army Foundation as much as he does, because he doesn't get paid.
Oh, no, he does. He does. He kicks ass. And I may tease you, but I love you, buddy.
No.
And you do great things. But I am really angry with you.
Why is
because
that?
Because I sent a group message out before you guys came over, said, hey, man, come over a little early. Have a little mini feast. I'm making brats.
I got to cut you off there. The message was to Dustin. It said, hey, Dustin.
No, read it.
I will. You want me to read it out loud? That's exactly what this
read
is.
Read it word for word.
Word for word.
If I'm wrong, I will admit it.
I didn't see this.
Read it.
Part.
Read it. Read it. Do it. Read it.
Dustin, you're going to miss out on brats. I had three left, and I am cooking up right now. Scotty, you can come over whenever you want before and join me for a pre-show mini feast. Should we save one for Dustin?
Jesus, man, I'm getting thrown under the freaking bus here. What the fuck, Mick? I thought we were boys. We were co-hosts, man. You're like, am I getting booted?
Well, see the thing. You're not getting booted.
Oh.
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I guess I owe an apology to my subordinate.
You said you were running a little late. I'd already started cooking the brats. But a good thing, because I steamed them and let the water, you know, I steamed them. Yeah. And then when all that evaporated, all that was left was the grease from the
brats.
Just
for our listeners, you're talking with your hands a lot. Like, you're nervous. That's like, that's the case of lying.
It's a little bit of the chef in me coming out. I have to... You don't hear of a chef with powerful vocal abilities that just sits there with his hands in his pockets. Come on now.
Emeril Lagasse doesn't put his hands in his pockets. The whole thing was I overfilled the water, so it took longer to cook. So by the time they were done, you were already here. You got a brat.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I was leaving you out. I'd already started them when you said you were going to ride late.
Okay.
Look, I'm trying to make a slick introduction into this show.
Myself,
and we're talking
here
about you and your cooking.
I'm offering the free food. Why do I have to defend myself?
Speaking of introductions.
I got a name.
Goodness.
What
I came up with a name for Scotty.
Oh, yeah. We've been
And by the way, just so everybody knows, this has been going on for at least a month. All I've been hearing is, Scotty, oh, we can't wait to release your name. Oh, your
Snotty
name,
Scotty.
Oh,
it's not Snotty Scotty, but...
Well, you've gone by Snotty, you've gone by...
Well, I mean...
Skinny white boy.
Are you telling me my name is... You're going with Snotty Scotty?
No. Hell no. Not
I called
Snotty
you
Seersucker.
Scotty. I was about to say,
no,
that's awful.
No. Well, first of all, when you get a call sign or a handle or something, you're not supposed to like it. That's the whole point. That's the reason why you do it like that. Just like when I was starting to be called the General, I did not like it. I did not like it, Sam, I am. No, I did not like it for like 2 years, and I finally just embraced
it. Right, it's such a terrible name to have something that you're in charge of everyone.
I agree. That is sounds kind of cool and stuff like that, but the thing is, it makes me sound like some arrogant dick, and that's not me. Anybody that knows me that I don't run around like, oh, I'm the General, you know, and like, dun-da-da-dun.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, it's not like I have rough
kind of
theme music behind you when you walk places.
It's not like I expect to have attention on deck called when I enter a frickin' the hatch or, you know, ruffles and flourishes when I step on deck. No,
I get my headgear starched.
It sounds the General. It sounds so frickin' presumptuous. It's just, I don't know, it's just like contempt. Just
well, roll with it, accept it.
No, exactly. So I accept it. I give you Mick Dagger. You don't like it? I don't give a shit. It's Mick Dagger. That's the way we're rolling. But we want to introduce Scott, because Scott is, or actually Prescott. That's a whole nother. Really? We'll get into that in a minute. But he is a big, important piece of Beer Army. He's many times been the voice and the face of this organization as we have grown. He's responsible for the press releases and a lot of the media and the webs and the little funky videos that you and I did before leasing up that show. That's all
kicking
Scott
butt.
Working behind the scenes or whatever. And I don't think Scott gets that much love. So I definitely wanted to introduce him on the show so that as we reference him, especially when we're cussing him out, people will be like, I remember you guys. I remember that guy. You know,
man, it's a good chance. Exactly. They laid into that poor little guy.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. So my drum roll.
You're going to get a lot of sympathy.
I can't wait.
Whoa.
I'm going with House Mouse Scott. House Mouse Scott, which will probably get shortened down to just Mouse.
Oh,
House
God.
Mouse Scott.
Yes. I mean,
you know what?
Because House Mouse is actually a term we use in the military. It's a lot of times guys taking care of admin stuff and all that. Keeping the house organized. And he kind of keeps our virtual house organized for beer.
But also a guy that never leaves the barracks.
Well,
should never leave the cafeteria. I'm a buck 30 soaking wet. So no,
exactly. For people that don't know, he's like 4'10",
that's incorrect. 6'5", 225.
Yeah. Whatever.
Really?
I can't even find shirts.
You know what? You do that. You paint that picture. Then somebody meets you, and they're going to be really let down. Where if you stick with the 4'10", and then somebody meets you, is like, wow.
Yeah, you look taller.
Dude.
Yeah, so when you flex, it'll actually look like, oh, wow.
What do you mean when I flex? I'm always just flexed.
Oh, my gosh.
They invented elastic for me.
Well, you know, for our listeners, the reason why they might be, why the hell
you should call yourself Flexiglass.
You know, the reason why I like Mouse is because this guy is a big cheese eater. He's a connoisseur of the cheese.
Yeah. What was the last cheese you
ate? Only if it's industrialized, though.
What?
Yeah, like if it comes wrapped up or, you know.
That is not the truth. No, that's not the truth.
He can't appreciate fine cheese.
Isn't American history?
That's a false statement.
If we talk to some of our other super soldiers like Madi and stuff, she'll tell you, like, he can't appreciate a fine cheese. He's all about, like, industrial cheddar. You know, Kraft singles.
Of an advocate for the grilled cheese sandwich because so many restaurants just upset me to the umpteenth degree with their grilled cheeses.
What's the perfect grilled cheese then?
Well,
Mouse.
You know, it really starts with your cheese to bread ratio.
You
have to have a ratio. For
what
this.
Is it then? What's the ratio?
I'm actually working on a formula for that to sell to restaurants across
sell
the country.
It. He's
you
going
have
to
the
sell
perfect.
It.
Amount of cheese. You know, you go to Burger King. They're like, oh, you want a biscuit? Sure, we'll slap half a piece of cheese on it. You know, and all you get is bread.
So you can't have, okay, so just, again, in House Mouse Scott's restaurant,
ratio.
You cannot have a grilled cheese your way.
I'm really interested.
You can't have it your way. You got to have it his way.
That's right, because I feel like my way, I've been eating grilled cheese sandwiches at least 5 to 10 a week for the last 25 years.
5 to 10 a week.
And I have cooked him in all shapes, sizes, forms.
And you won't give up the ratio for...
I think we need to give his colon a name, you know? 5 to 10 grilled cheeses a week.
I recommend a good rye. A quarter inch of
rye and the cheese don't go together. You're already off basis. And dog, you're talking about how to cook. Get out of here.
Never Wait. Had a Velveeta grilled cheese.
But
on
are
rye.
You? Are you?
Is what? It always grilled cheeses? Because I thought you're big into like macaroni and cheese too.
I am. I'm very big into macaroni. I mean, that's normally what I get on the side with my grilled cheese. So you go the grilled cheese with some good macaroni at McAllister's. That's my number one go to right there, baby. They have got the cheese. And the bread ratio figured out, and they got incredible mac and cheese.
Maybe instead of putting cheese, you put mac and cheese between two slices of bread.
And see, now it's not a grilled cheese anymore, so I won't eat it.
Yeah, it's a grilled cheese.
Yeah, you're taking it to the next level.
It's a grilled mac, exactly. And that's just, you know, there's a traditional way to cook a grilled cheese sandwich. All of you out there that put mayonnaise on it, if you put tomatoes, if you put bacon, that is not a grilled cheese sandwich. A grilled cheese is cheese, bread, and butter. Anything else is not a grilled cheese.
But isn't macaroni kind of...
You're scaring me, man.
That's the grain group. So that's like a bread. So it's like just putting a little bit more bread in there.
We can't follow that pyramid anymore. They changed it.
The resistance I get from you guys.
Lenny over here is about ready, like, freaking out.
Lenny's
salivating. He's hungry. He's like, you know what?
All he's hearing about is grilled cheese.
No, but House Mouse here is about ready to go postal on us, I think.
He's scratching my leg. He wants a sandwich.
Eat a grilled cheese on rye around him ever.
No, not on rye.
Don't
you
do it.
Rye, Mick.
What are you going to do? What would you do? Would you just sit there and stew? Like, oh, my God, why didn't he use pumpernickel?
And pumpernickel's wrong too. Come on, bro.
You see that face? Like, are you out of your freaking mind?
I mean,
pumpernickel.
You're 0-2, you know?
What, butter bread?
God knows. Where did you what? What child?
You're not offering up anything. All you've offered up
sourdough?
Is there's a ratio which you won't share. And that there needs to be grilled cheese, and it can't be mac and cheese, because then it would be a grilled mac and cheese, but on what?
Wonder Bread.
All I'm doing is getting everybody all riled up, so they'll come to my restaurant. The Mousetrap.
The Mousetrap.
Okay. And they'll have some sandwiches, and they'll know. They will find out what the perfect ratio is.
Actually, to be honest with you, the way he is...
And you know what? Hey, can you make that on rye?
Yeah. No, I'll say
no. And what will you do? Storm out of the kitchen using your hands? You not know what the grilled cheese is.
To be honest with you, though,
don't you ask for a pepper-nicle.
You know, with this mouse thing, he's actually more of a rat when it comes to the cheese. I will say that. You are more of a rat so maybe we should go
what
house
does that
rat.
Even mean?
Well, because you know, like rats are bigger than mice usually.
Yeah, and probably, rats are ratchet. I'm not. Like,
no, I know, but see,
cut.
Oh, you know, but the reason why I like the mouse thing,
ratchet, yo.
He's kind of meek like a mouse when it comes to the ladies, though. So it does kind of fit then.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
meek.
So do you have other lingo like trot? That rat over there.
I really couldn't tell you on impulse. It just kind of comes out of my mouth.
Your lingo?
You know? Yeah.
Your urban swag?
I have some urban swag.
I want to get back to the ladies thing, though. I'm telling you, this guy.
Well, he's not going to win him with grilled cheese because he's not really offering up anything about it other than
he's meek.
And there's a ratio.
He's meek like
he
a mouse.
Say the cheese.
He's meek like a mouse when it comes to
I'm
the ladies.
I'm not meek. I'm just not a jackass like 95% of the
other guys. No, for instance.
I never said you were meek.
See?
No, Mick, listen.
You wear seersucker shorts. I mean, that's
you
a bit intimidating.
You have not seen this video, right? This week's a perfect example. We're up in Chapel Hill, right?
Oh, yeah,
we're at a brewery.
This is going to back my point up.
You didn't know you were going to get ganged up on, did you?
He decides to serenade the ladies with a little vocal extravaganza.
Did you rap?
He rapped.
What'd you rap?
Look, this is how it went
this
down.
This is one rap he only knows.
What did you rap?
I made her put it on YouTube. It was Will Smith. Oh, yeah. We'll get in G with
it. I'm going to give you some YouTube magic here, girl.
Yeah, basically.
You just sit down and let the swag overcome you.
There were two girls in the corner. They wanted to come with us, but Dustin, he drove his little smart car. We didn't have enough room to put him in there. They were ready to walk out the door with
us.
Where were you going to go to... Were you going to go to the Cheesecake Factory?
No. See, this jerk-off tries to argue that Beastie Boys, or that Will Smith was more influential than the Beastie Boys. And I went off. I'm like, you've got to be out. And Dave Ryan was with us.
My heart
who's
just
another
cried.
Beer Army super soldier and stuff like that, you know? And I'm like, you're out of your freaking mind. So there was these ladies over in the corner.
Who didn't know us. Song, hey, lady.
And I said, girls, you don't know us, right? You don't know us, right? So can I ask you a question? Of course, they probably thought, okay, this old dude with wingtips on his hair, you know, frosted or whatever is going to hit on us. I'm like, listen, you know who the Beastie Boys is? They're like, yeah. I said, you know who Will Smith is?
That was his attempt.
You know? And they're like, yeah. I said, would you agree or disagree, you know, who has more influential on rap music, you know, on the whole genre? You know, Beasties or freaking Will Smith? And they said Beasties, and he went postal. So then he tells the bartender, poor girl working behind, you know, cue me up some Will Smith.
Exactly. You know?
And he doesn't
talk about it.
Yo.
Be about it.
Yeah.
Bring me up some Summertime,
exactly.
Yo.
Give me
did
some
you
of
sing
that
summertime?
Miami. I could do Miami.
You didn't do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? You went with traditional Will Smith?
I go traditional with the Big Willie style album. You know, that was the revolutionary album that changed it all.
You know what I'm going to do?
Big Willie style? I'm sorry. Yes. I had the opportunity.
He was
singing about his crotch.
Not to only witness this, but I also had the opportunity to record it. And I'm not going to stick
it
out there. I do.
You have it on your phone?
I do. But what I'm going to do...
You want to plug it in?
No. I'm going to put it up for Patreon for our Super Soldier members.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So you come on to Patreon, patreon.com/BeerArmy. Become a member. You know, pledge your support. If you like this show, help us out. And you get to watch it.
You'll
get to watch it.
Once all of you see it, I am I'm famous for doing this at weddings. And if you would like me to come to your wedding, I will do it for a small fee. Just go ahead and shoot us a line.
Just remember, he's 4'10".
That's right. 205 pounds.
And there'll be a rider as part of the contract. There needs to be grilled cheese sandwiches in the dressing
singers.
Room.
Yes.
On sourdough, not rye or pumpernickel.
Yes.
Although the ratio, it just needs to be a ratio.
Yes, and it's got
to
be.
He won't tell you because that's proprietary to his unopened restaurant.
You can't just grill the grilled cheese either. You got to steam it.
You got to steam the grilled cheese.
Weddings. So I want to hear you rap right now, though. I want to hear something.
Oh, no, let's not do this.
I want you to rap.
You want to? You want a verse and get in jiggy with it?
Do you know any Beastie Boys?
No.
Not
see,
one.
That's the only song he
that's
knows.
That's your problem.
Though.
Not at all.
He only knows this getting jiggy with it. He doesn't know anything else.
Oh, so that's what the video is getting jiggy
with? Right, getting right.
What other rap songs do you know?
He doesn't.
You can't claim to have urban swag and only know getting jiggy with it.
Some of them are pretty graphic. I don't think I want to go into that detail. In case mom is listening.
Mom's listening.
Which I doubt you are, mom.
Oh, yeah. You're still innocent, mister. Hey, where were you when you drove all the way to Greenville?
Oh, I was in Wilmington last week.
You were in Wilmington, and then the ECU won a football game. You're like, oh, the ladies are going to be very, very acceptable.
Right, so he wanted to show
someone who's 4'10".
You know, I was sitting at the bar in Wilmington.
He wants to show his gentleman
with a little Will Smith swag.
Yeah, whatever, man.
So Ricky Suave got in the car.
He drove from Wilmington just so he's like, oh, the opportunities tonight are going to be awesome.
And for our listeners not in the area, that's a three-hour drive, mind you.
Okay. I just wanted to go promote the brand in the Beer Army vehicle. I thought it would be a great place to go drive around, get some eyeballs on
the
brand.
Well, I'll tell you. No, I'll tell you. You are an awesome, unique individual. It's fun to rib you. We only do it because we like you, buddy.
Thank you, Mick. As a tear was streaming down my face.
Yeah, I'm still crying on the inside over your Beastie Boys comment. I want to throat punch you.
Well, I'll show you. I'll convert you to a Will Smith.
We're going to talk more. We're going to get more info.
We got to pay some bills, but we got to come back.
House Mouse Scott Andrews.
Yes, because I want to tell you another urban legend about House Mouse Scott.
Urban legend.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, can we get some
string
cheese or something?
No, listen. Malibu's Most Wanted has nothing on House Mouse, and we're going to get into that in the next after this break.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/beerarmy and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a Super Soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/beerarmy. Beer Army.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/beerarmy.
Beer Army Radio.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superheroden.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code Beer Army to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code Beer Army.
So do it now. That's superheroden.com.
Beer Army Engaged.
Well, we have more with Scott Andrews here from Beer Army. He's a public affairs guy. He claims he's what, 6'2", 200? But we claim he's 4'10", 105.
I'm telling you right now, if Mouse here is 110 pounds wet, I think that's being generous.
Well, I have to admit, when I was, I'm not a big, huge dude. I'm 5'10", 160, 165.
I'd give you 5'11".
Well, close. But I don't want to claim that and be like, and then not measure up, you know, whatever. Kind of like you. But I'd rather say I'm 5'10 and people are like, no, oh, you're 5'11. Than say I'm 5'11 and be like, no, you're only 5'10 3/4.
Well, maybe the problem is I just feel like I'm 6'5 when I walk into the
room. See, it's like the Price is Right.
6'5 when he walks into the room.
Yeah.
With what? Your shadow on the wall when you put your camera?
Because he's hung.
Just my, like, besides that, my loud, boisterous, you know.
Because he's a ladies man, 2000.
I come in and I present myself. I just don't walk into a room. You can't do that. Okay.
So what, do you have a theme song?
No, not at all.
Just get jiggy with it, play before you enter every room?
You just walk in, you just start calling people out, you know?
What people don't realize is
let
that.
Let everybody know that.
He turned down.
You got a strut and a butterfly collar on.
You got to have a little bit of a pimp walk
disco
when you come
funk
in.
Playing.
He turned down the beer industry's call to be the most interesting man in the world. He said, nah, that's below me.
It's true. You know?
Yeah. The most interesting
man
in the
world. They're still calling my phone.
Or boy. Man boy.
Ridiculous.
Because he looks like a boy. Because he gets carded everywhere we go. I mean,
I have been carded for NyQuil in the past 3 months.
See?
Well,
which is why I grew a man beard.
If you don't shave and you get lack of sleep, they might think you're making meth.
Well, that's actually
because you are pretty thin.
Because for a while their work was just running me ragged.
Oh, the only way you're not going to get carded for NyQuil is if you wear seersucker shorts,
which do get brought out pretty often, just to make the general mad.
And he wonders,
can't stand that my style is so far.
And he wonders why his Don Juanness is so down.
Seersucker is a Southern thing.
Don Juanness. Yeah. I am Don Juan, the magic wand.
Normally, you see old men with gray hair and weird, overly accentuated. Like I am affluent, and you are not. They're the only ones that wear seersucker jackets.
Y'all are looking
jackets.
At this from the 40-foot level. Come on, let's go up a little bit. You got to be versatile. I can pull off seersucker. I'm sitting here in shorts and a fitted hat right now.
You know what? Well, okay, let's talk about
Mr. Fashion.
Let's talk.
Exactly. He wears seersucker shorts with Adidas.
You have to dress.
He sports them well. He does. He has some swag. He carries himself like I'm the shizzle.
Hey, Mick, seriously, let's talk about his versatility. Let's talk about the what is it that you do? Well, I mean,
not when it comes to sharing his grilled cheese ratio.
What's going on here? Because obviously the restaurant ain't open yet, so let's, you know, what are you doing here?
That's true. What am I not doing? Let's put it that way. Let's see. Helping rep the Beer Army brand in any way, shape, or form, whether that's sales in Craven County. On the website, a little bit of Facebook. Thank God we got somebody else to kind of help.
You're going regional. You're traveling up to D.C. here.
Yep,
in the next
going to D.C. tomorrow. Just got back in from Raleigh last night with a beer tasting, from a beer tasting, which went really well at Taylor's in Raleigh. If any of y'all are local and want to check that out, please do. They got some great beer up there. But yeah, headed to D.C. for the first time. We entered the market with our beer from Beer Army Combat Brewery here in the past couple weeks, and I'm going up to rep it, so I'm pretty excited. I haven't been to D.C. but once for a golf tournament, so I'm excited to get to travel a little bit. Should be fun. And just kind of see how people in D.C. react to our stuff, you know.
On the foundation side, what do you do a lot with? I mean, is that – I'm assuming you must be heavily involved with the events for our listeners so they understand.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, the foundation is kind of a separate part of my gig, and that's kind of come on pretty recently, actually, with the foundation, you know, finally getting started in March. But, yeah, you know, I'm in charge with all the events, you know, help out. To plan all of them for 2015. We've got some really, really fun stuff coming up. Specifically in December of this year, we got the one coming up called the Defy Gravity Beer, Food, and Music Experience. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be in downtown New Bern. We're going to be selling tickets to that, and it's going to be at the Convention Center on December 20th. So
hell yeah.
We're really, really pumped about that one. And then for 2015, we got a lot of cool events, the Can Jam Beer Festival we're going to try and do.
Well, I just learned
it with just beer cans. So yeah,
I just learned a few weeks ago the high gravity is it's the higher alcohol content.
Yeah,
yep, exactly. 8%.
At first, I was like, "What does that mean? Is this space beer?"
Right. No, it's
and there is space beer, but there actually is.
Well, you're doing great things, man. With Beer Army,
I just wish he was
keep yourself so freaking busy.
I just wish he was doing great things with the ladies. Because, I mean, he doesn't take advantage of it.
I just don't ever tell you when I succeed.
And I'm not knocking you in any way, is it, because like me, I have no idea when the ladies are flirting with me. I have no idea. There's like, there's girls that are nice.
They flirt?
There's girls that are nice, and then there's like girls that'll flirt, but it's hard for me to distinguish between.
It's really
the
like
two.
If you go and knock down a beehive and all these bees are coming at you, you don't know which one to swat and which one not to swat. So it's like, what do you do? You know, it's just you state of confusion. So you're
so
always
you
just,
intentionally stir up a beehive?
If I walk into a bar and there's a beehive there, I might just
what do you
knock
do? How does
thing.
It work? How does it work?
Well, a perfect example, just the other night with Dustin, as he was talking about, you know, I don't know anyone else that would have walked in and just gone acapella on everybody with some getting jiggy with it. You know, just put yourself out there. That'll stir the hive up.
I used to do that.
The reason why I'm still in
a
playbook.
It's a good move. It's a power move, you know?
I used to sing Frank Sinatra and Harry Connick Jr. songs right out and stand on the senior bench in high school. And the ladies would be like,
yeah, you were knocked down
high
as a baseball bat
yesterday. And I was like,
the reason why I'm pushing him so hard, Mick, is because I have to live vicariously through him because I'm just an old married dude. You know what I mean? And with 500 kids and stuff. And so I'm like, what are you doing? Make some moves, man. But he doesn't. It's like he's all timid and stuff. You know, it's just, it's like, be a lion.
Timid. Okay. Look up the definition of timid. And singing in public, I don't think falls under that.
Well, that's because you've been drinking some beer, though. You know, so you're a little, you know, loosey-goosey a little bit. Yeah, you had your liquid courage up, you know, so.
Yeah, notification is something there.
Yeah, it's probably the good Lord striking you down with an email to tell you that you're completely wrong. Scotty's a 10 out of 10 on the hotness scale.
So what's your, other than sing and get jiggy with it, what's your go-to for breaking the ice with the lady?
You know.
What is it?
Honestly, music is one of the most important parts of my life. So I love all types of music. I'm an old soul. Some Diana Ross.
Diana.
That's right, with an O. Uh-huh.
Diana Ross.
It's more soulful that way. Diana. Yeah. Diana.
Well,
you know?
So, you know, for people that don't know, he is a born and bred Southern aristocrat. So I think that
which
is
where the seersucker
exactly
shorts
and from. the shoes with no socks. You know, the penny loafers with no socks.
I mean, that's the reason why he has like three first names.
Prescott. Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah, I need to get to that. I always knew you as Scott. Scotty's.
A lot of people say they're like, where does Scott come from? Well, Scott comes from Prescott, which is the middle name. The full name they gave to your boy.
Reginald
Prescott Andrews.
The third?
Now, apparently I'm going to be a king or something of some society.
A
I don't
king.
Know. I don't know. That's a very royal sounding name, if you ask me. Robert Prescott Andrews. Cops won't even give me tickets. They're like, oh, go ahead, Prince.
You know, RPA.
Prince.
You know,
RPA.
Prince.
Yeah.
RPA.
RPA. Wow. I think Reginald.
I think if he
it's
was
awful
ever,
name.
I think if he was going to
Reginald
be,
Prescott Andrews here with seersucker shorts and the ratio for grilled cheese, you will never know.
I think that if he could actually rap, if he could actually rap, that he could actually use that Prescott
get
angle
jiggy with it,
with his DJ name or something, or his persona, you know. But
no, he could go by DJ Prescott. That could sell.
Or
DJ,
like Daft Punk, or something. Have to wear like a helmet.
I've already been called DJ Royds.
DJ Royds.
Scotty Royds. Well, that was my baseball name. Scotty Royds in high school. Name. Which, again, backs up the fact that I am 6'5", 225.
Is wiffle ball considered baseball, though?
You may feel 6'5", 225.
I'm towering over you right now.
You are not. Well, you're sitting on a higher stool because I didn't have a chair to sit you at the same lower posture we're at. And it wasn't because we wanted you to make you feel big.
You don't have to make me feel. Obviously,
sit at the height at which he thinks he is. No,
Nick, if you're playing baseball with a plastic bat, is that considered baseball?
Actually, I'm going to be honest.
I think it's considered wiffle ball.
Yeah.
I never stepped in the batter's box. I was a pitcher. I just stepped up there and threw gas.
With what? Your arms are like
they also used to call me kerosene.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We got to post the picture.
Every man throws gas. Listen, what dude doesn't try to catch it and throw it in somebody else's direction?
Eat it. No, I'm going to post this video up, though, on Patreon, so people got to check it out. And then check his arms out. I mean, just look, it's like there's no way.
Look at him, and if you want to get him, call me. I'll tell you how.
If he's throwing 70-mile-per-hour fastballs, I'll
be
impressed.
You see this guy? Actually, did you realize he's actually 6'5", 200 pounds?
Oh, my God.
I know only he looks 4'10", 105. Wow, the camera doesn't put on 10 pounds.
All it takes is a healthy cheese regimen each day, and you will be just as fit as anyone could ever imagine.
Getting back to the cheese thing real quick. Every time, other than this time, well, it's the time of day as well. Every time I've seen you in the morning, you've had a cholesterol cracking cheese biscuit and like a half a gallon of milk.
That's true.
Well, that might be way too much on the milk. But
I tried to get you to eat one day, too, and you took three bites
I was like, you were doubled over. Feel the clogging of the arteries.
The FDA recommends, like, what, 2,000 calorie food caloric intake or something like that?
A day.
Yeah, a day,
not
right?
Not in one cheese biscuit.
No, not this guy. This guy's like tipping the scales right there 3 hours after breakfast time, you know, hitting 2,200, 2,500 calories, you know, and it's like,
man, those biscuits they're crazy,
they
dude.
Are. And I'm telling you, they keep me going.
It's like backstrap.
How do you drink, how do you eat biscuit? Something so heavy and drink something so heavy?
Well, milk is always
is not a light drink.
I tried the, last year, I tried the gallon challenge. I don't know if y'all have heard of that, but it's, you got to drink a gallon of milk in 1 hour.
And you puked.
No, I didn't. I didn't finish. But you should have seen me. I was sitting there. I had a gallon of milk and peanut butter because peanut butter makes me really thirsty. So I'm thinking, well, cool. I'll just slam peanut butter and drink a bunch of milk. I got through half a gallon in 20 minutes and I hit a brick wall. It was tough.
You hit the brick wall.
I drank all but a quarter
for
of
a
milk.
Marathon, hit the wall.
Well, I'm more interested in how much peanut butter did you eat?
There was a good bit of peanut butter gone, too. It was probably a third of the jar. It was a smaller jar. It was about a third of the jar. Oh, then I went upstairs and just laid down.
The thing is, I imagine this picture, and it just is so wrong on so many levels. It's so wrong on so many levels.
You're not going to, don't even go there. We're not.
No, I mean, just peanut butter in one hand and a jug of milk in the other. I could picture him in his boxer shorts or something sitting in front of the, on the porch in front of a black and white TV.
See, I do stuff like that, and I still weigh $1.30 soaking wet, so.
And it's been porn playing in the background. Ow, peanut butter in my mouth.
Oh, I mean, it certainly
gonna
gets
make
the blood flowing,
Thursday
so.
For some milk. Gonna have peanut butter going down.
Mick,
gonna
I will
rub
watch
it
porn,
on my nipples,
drink milk,
nipples,
and
nipples.
Eat peanut butter with you any day of the week.
I woke up, man. I woke up from a cold milk hangover. My nipples were covered in peanut butter, and I don't even want to know what happened
down below. And my breath smelled of nuts.
I had to get new seersucker shorts.
Oh, my God. I would never want to be in y'all's fraternity. I can tell you that much.
Fraternity.
You're a good sport. You're a great guy.
Yes. Appreciate you coming in and everything.
And you're doing great things. We may ride you, but we love you.
No, yeah, seriously. Well, seriously. I really appreciate everything that House Mouse Scott has brought to the table over these past... Jeez, it's like been over 2 years, I think, now, running crazy with Beer Army. And I truly believe that because of your efforts, I mean, it's definitely brought us to the another level. And looking forward to the future and what you continue to bring to the fight. And especially with this show, as we continue to grow it.
Oh, we got to have him back on. I'm going to get that grilled cheese ratio out of him one way or another. Because I'm really interested. I just want
to
know.
I'm just looking forward to our challenge that that we got next week. Because for those that don't know, Scott's always challenging me to stuff. And I've beaten him on multiples of things of like poker and races. And
your mic level is just, we need to cut that completely off and, with him lying.
And the nice
that.
Thing I is mean, next week we have the Mahdi Roast, where we're going to go for roast masting bragging rights as we cut up Mahdi Sol Schultz, who's another fellow super soldier.
That's going to be a battle.
Yeah, it is. I think I could take him, though. I think I could take him. I think my
I don't
brain's
know, man.
Bigger.
I think it's
you
a
always
toss-up.
Think that, but
and I always but, do. That's the thing. I don't know about all that.
I
really
think it's
don't.
A toss-up. Honestly, I don't know who's going to win.
Realize
that's going to be good.
Do you realize he still owes me 2 days in the bottle suit because I beat him from the drive driving from Trenton to New Bern? I beat him. And he still owes me 2 days in this bottle suit outfit.
Mind you, I went down a road course. Dustin went straight down a 70
you picked
mile
your,
an hour.
He picked his course. He picked. I went my route. He went his route. He could have went the same route, but he didn't.
I should have at least expensed y'all for gas for that one. I didn't even do that.
Expense for gas.
What was I thinking? Unreal. And you'll get your days in a bottle suit. Don't
you'll come back, though, right, Scott?
Of course I will. Always, good, man. It's good. It's a fun gig, you know, really enjoy it. I don't know any other company that I would rather be with. I get out of bed and I get to go play with beer and help raise money for people with the foundation. It's awesome.
So those
it
out there.
It helps you afford your cheese habit and your milk habit.
That's really true.
If you see them out there, please give them the peace sign out and say, yo, Mouse, what's up?
That's true, yes. And I do drive the Beer Army car around.
Nibble
so,
on,
yeah.
Mouse, nibble on.
That's
give,
right.
Give me some Mouse love.
So.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll be back. We're going to wrap up the show in style and look at some crazy stuff we've come across. So don't go anywhere. Keep it locked on Beer Army Engaged.
Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code Beer Army.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code Beer Army?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Well, this is Beer Army Engaged, a fun part of the show. And we love doing what we do here. We're serious when necessary, and we just love the community of beer. It's the one thing that draws us all together, and that's why we enjoy having you here on the program.
So. Serious when necessary, so is that... I guess that isn't very, very often, then.
No, we did good things earlier.
Okay. I got it.
Raising awareness and...
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely.
Well, there's truth in humor, so you can be serious and yet have a smile on your face.
Only way to get back at the man and only way to do that is laugh. And luckily we have this next segment to go into to do that, so...
Yeah, because in a world as screwed up as this,
yeah,
let's yick him to Sue.
So I have what we've done is pulled out some news pieces that, unlike we did last week with the Duffel blog where it's satire, these are actually real news pieces. These are real events going on in our world.
We got some good ones here.
So let me kick off by going with the there's a skunk who got its head stuck in a beer can. and this happened in Ohio. And thanks to the...
Where?
Ohio.
Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio.
All right.
And thanks to the Associated Press and ABC News for breaking this story. And
Hard-hitting investigative journalists that they are at ABC News. What are we looking for? We need skunks. We need skunks with beer cans on their heads. Anybody, anybody. All right, Jimmy, you got the story. Go get it. Do good things.
And so this was in Oxford, Ohio, a couple days ago, in Miami University, which ironically is in Ohio.
So we had Long Beach, Mississippi earlier.
Yes.
Now we have
Miami University
in Ohio.
In Oxford, Ohio. Yes. Which is, I guess it's approximately, I don't know, hours drive northwest of Cincinnati.
They got a decent football team.
I think you're thinking of the U.
No. No, I think somebody came from, I don't know if it was Roethlisberger, somebody came from that area.
From
or maybe
where?
It was Jake DeLome. I'm serious.
Really?
I'm so glad Mouse was able to
really?
Hang on.
Mr. Bojangles?
Yeah, exactly.
Can't throw a football, but I can throw a biscuit.
So anyways,
I'm Jake DeLome.
This poor skunk luckily the police found him, and they found him with this animal banging around in the head. And ironically, he was in the shrubs next to a frat house. Go figure.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, you'll have that. And luckily, the animal control officer was able to free the skunk without getting sprayed. So
he's lucky. How do you do that?
The nice thing is we'll post this up like we do with all of our links and stuff, and they have a nice picture of the skunk with his head stuck in the can. So definitely check it out on beerarmy.org underneath our radio tab when we, you know, underneath the notes section.
Frat house skunks.
So.
It's a good memoir, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good memoir.
So if you're a skunk.
Scott Andrews is hanging around,
sounds
everybody.
Like something in a Tucker Max book.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a skunk, you know, public news, you know, release, announcement, you know, PSA, right? Public service announcement.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't stick your head in the can.
If you're a skunk listening to Beer Army Engaged, you definitely need to shoot us an email.
Yeah. Oh, gotta love it.
God knows.
The photo, seriously, check out the photo because the photo is funny as hell. So what do you got over there, Mick?
Here's the one I want to start with. It's not beer related.
Not
it's out of New York City.
Okay.
And I'm going to just let it speak for itself.
The city that never sleeps.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, pretty much. And especially when it comes to this guy. A homeless guy, but a very, very confident homeless guy.
There's 8 million people in this city. If you're not getting laid, you're a fucking asshole.
You hear that?
It sounded like I forgot how to get pussy just because I fucking became homeless.
I like your shorts.
Thank you.
You're fucking killing. Hold on. Hey.
All right. Now I'm stopping it right there. You heard what he said. There's enough pussy in the world. If you're not getting laid, you're an idiot.
That dude's got more games than the Parker Brothers. That's awesome.
This is a homeless guy. Right? And the thing is he gets women to take him home so he doesn't have to sleep on the street.
I saw this.
Oh, but it's magic. The way this guy just talks, it's genius.
I thought
genius.
We agreed this wasn't going to be satire. I thought this was going to be real stuff.
This is real.
What news source
is this from?
This
is from Elite Daily.
It is. It's true.
They did a documentary on this dude. It's legit. It's not satire.
This guy,
listen.
Hold on. What's your name?
Erica.
New York City's amazing. Like, it has 8 million people in it, so you could, like, fuck a different girl, like, whenever you want.
You're adorable. Like, I'm definitely, like, trying to chill with you.
There's got to be the one pickup line that works better than everything else you say.
It's not really pickup lines. It's more like I see opportunities and I capitalize on them. I'm actually a little bit Czechoslovakian. That's kind of.
Okay, great. Yeah, right. That's a pickup line. I'm a little bit Czechoslovakian. I noticed an opportunity. You want to get laid by a Czech.
I think we need to relay something here, though. I don't know if you set it up, but what does this guy look like? How does he present himself?
He looks like he actually, honestly, and I'm not making fun. He actually looks like a 6'2", 200 and say 10 pound version of you.
Oh, that would make sense because he's really putting himself out there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And it's working, obviously. So.
But the thing is, this guy. Oh man. Oh, he's crazy. But he says he's just, you know, he sees opportunity and he tries to capitalize on it. He's homeless. Why doesn't he apply that to, like, not being homeless? He only applies it to getting laid?
I guess I can assume that the soup kitchens just aren't doing it. And so he has to take it to the next
level. See a reality show.
Oh, it gets better. I'm just going to share a little bit more here, all right? Because it gets better. This guy's a gem.
Dude, I'll go up to any random girl here, tell him I fucking love him, I want to marry him just for general recreation purposes.
I love you.
You're fucking killing it.
Yes.
What usually, like, dictates how long, like, a girl lets you bunk up in a place?
It's pretty much all depends on how good of the pipe I lay.
What?
Yeah, dude, if I lay the good pipe, you know, I'm fucking usually in there for a few days.
God.
I was sleeping at this broad's house, and last night we just ate a shitload of
Oh, man, this is the homeless
plumber laying the pipe.
There's
That's
so
great.
Much. This video is too long to share in its entirety. It's, like, over 5 minutes long.
I guess we'll have to post that, too.
But it's crazy, but it goes on to, where, like, how he makes himself look good. Now they asked me if he has good outfits. He's like, I don't have bad ones. He's homeless.
I bet you he has.
Oh, he must have a lot of outfits.
I don't know. I didn't. He didn't walk around.
By the way, I can already. Have you all seen the movie Hitch with Will Smith?
Oh, Jesus.
Where he links the people up and he knows the game so well that he can do that. This guy is next.
Homeless Hitch.
Homeless Hitch. Boom.
I'm still kind of.
Oh, it's even
done.
Better. Getting himself looking good regimen is hilarious in and of itself. We'll
yeah,
save
I'm gonna
that
actually
for the video.
I'm gonna have to check that out now.
Oh man, that's priceless.
I'm still like, don't believe it, but I'll have to check it out.
If you're not getting laid, you're an idiot.
What an approach. I mean,
he's 26. Boy. 26.
I guess I'm kind of curious to know what was the background. Is he like a previous porn star that's
mom,
out of work or
no,
something?
No, no.
And
his
you know,
mom
he's living on the street.
Jeremy.
His mom kicked him out of the house. When she found his stash of drugs.
Huh.
So that's where that one starts.
Okay.
You know, tragic story. Standard sitcom. Standard sitcom right there.
That's pretty good.
Young man, impressionable.
Right.
Could be, like, launched into the world. Mommy finds his drug stash. He's homeless. Hilarity ensues.
Shakespeare.
Why hasn't Tyler Perry done anything with this?
Isn't that like a Shakespeare play, I think?
This, probably.
This whole story is based on that. Okay, well, cool. Well, let's take it overseas a little bit, and let's talk about the Ruskies. You know what the Ruskies are doing over there, Mick?
The
Ruskies?
What are they doing?
This is the worst news ever.
According to Dan Zinsky, he published on LightlyBuzzed.com, the Russians have bought PBR, as in Pabst Blue Ribbon, for all those hipsters out there who love PBR. Wait,
the Russians, they just bought beer, or they bought the company?
No. There's a Russian group that bought, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon, a.k.a. PBR, for $700.
A.k.a. the American beer.
Yeah, for over $700 million. So
the Russians own PBR?
Yes.
So the Russians own hipsters?
Yes, I think now it's going to be called the USSR.
Your hipsters are ours now. Your skinny jeans are ours. You share them with Russian people. We give you beer, you give us skinny jeans. We need skinny jeans to match your level of introspection and arrogance.
But I think, you know, on that note there, Mick, I think you'll appreciate Dan's sense of humor here as he published his article, because he said that exactly right here. He goes, hipsters stopped caring about PBR years ago, leaving only posers still drinking PBR. And he goes,
So he's actually called Russians posers.
Exactly. I'm thinking, okay, dude, Russian mafia's coming for you next. But
and Mick.
Yeah, and Mick. He says here, and he goes, you know what the sale... What the sale means to hipsters, absolutely nothing, because so over it. But what does it mean to PBR? He says things like vodka and PBR become a popular cocktail at parties. Ask for it the next time you awake from a 3-day coma to find yourself gagged and blindfolded inside a hangar at an abandoned Kazakhstanian airfield. No, you're not in a mid-80s action movie starring a former Belgian bodybuilder. That's just how most Russian parties start. So as you can see, he...
Okay.
He wrote this call.
Say you come over for cocktails. We have a few PBRs. You forget everything.
Then the homeless guy shows up. I got your cocktails.
No, I think it's pretty surprising, though, that, exactly. I would say something that's very iconic. You know, it's been around for a very, very long time. Is not, it's been, for those that don't know, PBR has been... Name it only, you know, really for a number of years it's gone through.
Well, the brewery, they shut it down years ago. Yeah.
You know, and the name has just been bought and sold, and it's been published, beer's been brewed underneath different contract breweries or whatever, so it's really just beer and name. But, I think all the hipsters and joking and crap aside, I mean, it's kind of like, damn, you know, PBRs and Russian.
So if I drink a PBR, I'm supporting the Russian incursion into the Ukraine?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to make it stateside, obviously, I would think, you know, but...
Is the R going to be like
Dan,
Russian R?
Yeah.
Right.
PBR.
Pabst Blue Russian.
Pabst Blue Russian.
Hey. Actually, I could see that happening. I really could.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, they're known, they're red. You always go commie red. You can't, we got to start going commie blue.
Huh.
Yeah.
They don't consider themselves the communist, they don't consider,
oh, that's right.
It's not the USSR anymore.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that sometimes. I mean, they're too busy. Well, they're too busy driving tanks into freaking other countries, so I'm sure they're probably too busy to worry about that stuff anyways.
Shooting jets down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, we appreciate House Mouse Scott coming in and hanging with us. And,
yeah, thank you, man. Hanging.
It's pretty fun. Had a good time.
All right. Now, that's going to do it for Beer Army Engage. Thank you so much. And don't forget, hit us up online at beerarmy.org. And all the avenues, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, right there, beerarmy.org. Dustin got on me for spelling them out here on the program. He's like, we made it Mick-friendly.
That's
we just
right.
put
we
the images up.
Just click on the icon. If
you
you're a Facebook
it.
Person, Instagram, whatever, just click on that icon. Yeah.
Thank you. That really made my life a lot easier. I don't have to read so much now.
It's all about, even Lenny could do it.
My dog could do that. Yeah. So hit it up, beerarmy.org. And by the way, big thanks to not only you for checking it out, and big thanks to those hitting up Patreon and pledging.
Yes.
Be a part of it.
Do it.
Patreon.com/beerarmy.
And become a super soldier.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a way that you can help us.
Join the Beer Army Bravo Force by being a super soldier.
There you go. Support us and help us to donate to charities and give scholarships to deserving youth who are wanting to continue their education. So, hell yeah.
Peace easy. Keep it cheesy.
Beer Army Radio.